Father, we thank you and give you praise, give you glory, Lord, for another opportunity as we gather together in fellowship. We have returned to give you praise and to give you glory today. Oh Lord, you have kept us, you've seen us through, and you enabled us to set days apart to seek the Lord. And you have promised us that when we seek you diligently, and you will reward us. Hallelujah. For all the things, O Lord, that we have sought you about, and all the things we have prayed about the last few days of September to remember, we have returned today to give you praise and to give you glory. Thank you, Father. We ask, O Lord, that even the few words that we will share from the scriptures, that they will shine in our hearts as it is written. The entrance of your word brings light and gives understanding to the simple. To God be the glory. God be the glory. We receive that light and that understanding today. Let this shine, let the light of the word of God shine in our hearts. And let us receive inspiration in our hearts to believe you even for more. To God be the glory. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen. Amen. So we are returning today to give glory and praise to the Lord for what he has done. Last 4 days, we set time apart to seek the Lord in preparation for September to remember prayer, fire, and teaching conference. And we thank God for the grace and the strength that he gave us to seek the Lord. We need to continue to be on alert. But today, it's just about us returning to give praise to the Lord. Now, the Lord appreciates it when we return to give him praise. But when we don't, he doesn't appreciate it. We see the story, you know, of the lepers. I want to read that to us today. Luke chapter 17. And it came to pass, from verse 11, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed by, through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices. Well, the reason they stood afar off was because their sickness was contagious. And, so they stood afar off, but they cried so that he could hear them. And said, Master Jesus, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said something to them. You know, I've always seen places throughout the scriptures where people call upon Jesus and ask for mercy. I've never seen one place where he did not respond with grace and kindness. Have mercy upon us. There were the blind men. There was one called Bartimaeus. All of them, every time they called upon the name of the Lord, have mercy upon us. In fact, one time we're told that he was going, a lot of people thronging him, heard the cry, and he stopped. That cry of have mercy upon us got into his ears, and he stopped and turned around. I believe that one of the greatest ways to pray to the Lord is to call upon his mercy. You know, that's a prayer that he cannot and will not turn aside from. You know, God will always get his attention. that will always get his attention. Because as we read in the book of Exodus chapter 25, when Moses was instructed to make the ark and the tabernacle of witness and all these things, it was one instruction the Lord gave him. And it was, there were many things that he was supposed to put together, but the mercy seat, he was instructed that he would put the mercy seat even above the ark. And he was instructed that there will I meet with you. Put the mercy seat. We know the ark as, something that represents the presence of God. But for the Lord to say, thou shalt put the mercy seat above, upon the ark. And in the ark, thou shalt put your testimony. So we focus on the ark greatly, and we should, because it represents many things. But Exodus 25 and 21 will tell you how God views this attribute of himself that's called mercy. mercy. He views it as number one thing. In fact, he said, put that above the ark, and there will I commune with you. Himself's above everything. I will commune with you from above the mercy seat, which is above the ark. And just think about it. And we see, in Exodus, where Moses was asking to know more of the Lord. He said, Lord, show me thy glory, that I may know thee. He started to pray that prayer in Exodus 33. We've talked about that a lot during this, even these last few days. But when God told him, well, I'm going to show myself to you, the Lord told him to go and, stand in a certain place, and then I will come and pass by you, and so forth. And so let's read this, a few words here that the Lord said to Moses, what the Lord actually did. In Exodus chapter 34, when Moses went up and did as stood in a certain place, like the Lord said, then the Lord, in verse 5, descended in the cloud and stood with him there. And the Lord proclaimed the name of the Lord. Now, let's take note of this. This is not Moses saying something about the Lord. Many people have given the Lord many names in the Bible. All the Jehovah redemptive names were names inspired by God, but people gave them to God because of some circumstance, They say, maybe the Lord fought greatly for them. Say, well, the Lord is our banner. Maybe the Lord healed them. Say, well, this and that. Now, sometimes the Lord would be the one that tell them also, like, I'm the Lord that healed thee, Jehovah Rupheka, and all that. But sometimes people gave names to the Lord as well. Well, this one is a point blank declaration from the Lord himself about what his name is. Said, and the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with Moses there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. And that's the Lord proclaiming his own name. And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed. This is what God said about now. Remember, he was answering the question or the request. Show me more of thy glory. Show me thy way that I may know thee. Show me thy glory, Lord. That's what he was asking in the previous chapter. Now the Lord appeared to him and said, well, I'm going to let you see my backside only for now. As you and I, you can't see my face. But here's what the Lord said about himself. The Lord. That's what he called himself. The Lord God. That's what he called himself. Merciful. See, after he named himself as the Lord and the Lord God, the first attribute out of his mouth about himself is merciful. That's it. Call himself the Lord. Call himself the Lord God. And then the next thing he's going to say about himself, the first thing out of his mouth about himself is merciful. And you want to know me? Merciful and gracious, long suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin. See, he put out all these wonderful attributes about himself, but the first one of them was merciful. It was about his mercy. And that will by no means clear the guilty. That's because of his righteousness too and his holiness. Visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and children's children and so on and so forth. So here we see the Lord describing both his goodness and his severity. Now, but he put forward, some people say put forward your best foot first. I mean, he put forward the most revealing attributes about himself first. Mercy. Merciful. That's who he is. And he called it the mercy seat. That's where he sits, you know, sits upon the mercy seat for us even today. Someday he might roll out the judgment seat. But right now, sitting on the mercy seat. Sitting on the mercy seat. And it's so amazing. You know, the mercy of the Lord endureth forever. You know, the psalmist David, he understood this mercy of the Lord. He would always say it. If I wrote a psalm, one psalm completely about that, punctuating every phrase with his mercy endureth forever. That's Psalm 136. He did it like that. And there's nothing else that has ever been written like that. I mean, that you can't even finish a sentence. Half of the sentence, halfway through the sentence, you put the mercy of the Lord and you're a powerful, powerful song. Yeah. And sometimes the people of the Lord too, the kings, the good kings in those days, you know, like Jehoshaphat and the rest of them, when they wanted to, you know, tell the people to bless the Lord, say, now bless the name of the Lord your God. Well, you know, most of the time what they will be saying is, praising the beauty of holiness and saying, for his mercy endureth forever. They knew it. The mercy of the Lord. His mercy endureth forever. Now, when you are praying prayers that are not working, you know, switch to calling upon the mercy of the Lord. You know, that one always gets his attention, no matter what is going on. You know, the mercy of the Lord, asking for mercy, you know. And so these 10 lepers, they cried unto him and asked for his mercy. And Jesus responded, as he always does, you know. And he told them, well, go show yourselves to the priests. What was the reason why Jesus? And there's also a revelation, a very silent message even in that. Because in the olden days, you know, the priests had the responsibility of, among other things, to certify, you know, that someone who had been an outcast through, because of a contagious disease, is now, okay to come back into the society. you know, the, if they claim that they have been healed or cured, well, the priest would have to certify that. You know, so now these people are leprous. You know, they cannot, they can't be around people. They gotta be out, you know, outside the city, because it's kind of like they're banished because they don't want the thing to spread. You know, so rather banish if one or two people than have to deal with hundreds or thousands, you know, so just they have to go out. And so these ones were out, you know, and Jesus said, go show yourself to the priest. Now, they cannot go and show themselves to the priest unless they were healed. As a lesson, as a revelation in that as well. Go show yourself. They can't go and show themselves to the priest, because you can't come even near the priest with your leprosy. You have to come when you are clean. And the priest can check you out and say, yep, you are clean. Give you a clean bill of health. Because the priest that would do that, allow you to get back into society, don't mingle with people. But Jesus said, go show yourselves to the priest. Now, of course, Jesus, being the Lord, already knew what would occur. Now, these people didn't know. But they had to act on that word. See, just had to act on that word. I can't go and show myself to the priest. They might be thinking. But they acted on the word anyway. Because you can't, you must be clean before you re-present yourself to the priest. When you present yourself back to the priest, you must be clean. And they were not clean. Not at that moment that Jesus spoke to them. But Jesus already knew what was going to happen. And as they went, we were told, see, in obedience to what Jesus said. And that's it. Just do what the master said. Just do it. One time, they were invited, Mary and Jesus and some others were invited to a marriage feast in a place called Cana of Galilee. It's a district of Galilee called Cana. And they ran out of their wine and everything. They came to the mother of Jesus. Say, well, can you speak to him for us? You know, what are we going to do here? What you got to do with that? What did Jesus got to do with that? Just don't have anything. He's not the one that's running the party. Speak to the governor already. So as they continue to bother more Mary about it, okay, fine. Go and talk to him, and whatever he tells you, just do it. Mary already knew that, hanging around with him for years around the house. She knew that. You just do whatever he says. That's it. That's all you got to do. Whatever he tells you, just do it. So they walk over to Jesus. You know, they don't know what he's going to do, but and it came, and then Jesus, Mary is trying to tell Jesus, say, look, you know, what's my concern with this stuff? My time is not yet for this stuff. But anyway, you know, and the people came, you know, said, well, go do this, go do that. Just go draw some water, fresh water, pour it out into the jars of, you know, the wine and so forth. Well, and they just did what Jesus said. And that's it. They got fresh, unfermented wine. It was tasted like nothing they've ever tasted. And then people tasted the thing. You know, they said to the master of ceremony or whoever, wow, most people serve the best at the beginning. And then, you know, people who come late, they get the fragments of stuff. But you have kept the best unto the last. Huh? The man didn't even know what they were talking about. Where'd you get that from? So, just do what Jesus says. And so these lepers, they were about to go do what Jesus said. And they went. And as they went, before they even got to showing themselves to the priest. See, that's a key, one of the key lessons in this story. You know, as they went on the word that said, go show yourselves to the priest. That's it. See, that word, once Jesus speaks it, you know, all you got to do is believe it and act on it. That's it. In fact, one man, we call him the centurion. He came to Jesus and Jesus said, well, you know, my servant is grievously sick, you know, and so forth. Jesus said, I'll come and heal him. He said, no, you don't even need to come. All you have to do is just speak the word. And just speak the word. That's it. Right there. Say, look, I'll tell you, you know, something. I myself, I understand how these things work. In my realm, I do the same thing. I speak, people do it. I tell one come, he comes. I tell one go, he goes. But I don't have power to tell the sickness to come and go, but I know you do. And all you got to do is say the word and that sickness will go. Just like when I say the word, my servant goes or comes. Jesus said, wow, wow, wow. I have not seen, looked around to the crowd and said, I tell you what, I have not seen faith like this, not in all of Israel. The man was ready to take the word of Jesus as it is. You know, I don't need any fanfare or anything. Just say the word. That's it. And Jesus said the word. And that was so. So these people were also cleansed as they were going. And Jesus said, go. And as they were going, they didn't want to reach the place. They were just going. You know, they were healed. My goodness. The word of the Lord carries so much power. You know, it's all we need is release our minds to align with what Jesus said or says over any situation. That's all you need to do. Even creation and the elements, they hear his voice and they obey. One time Jesus, they accused him of, and his disciples, of not paying taxes. So he said, well, I mean, who should pay taxes? The foreigners or the sons of the land? They said, the foreigners. So, well, the sons of the land are free then. But, lest we offend them, Jesus was always trying to be compliant. You know, go and pay your tax. Peter, you pay for yourself, pay for me. We don't want to be, you know, we don't want to offend them. See, that's wisdom. But Peter said, well, I don't have any money. And, you know, am I going to pay my own and yours when I don't even have any money? You know, I left my fishing. I've been following you all around the place. Well, Jesus said, don't worry. Go get your fishing gear and go back to that place which you thought you left. Cast your net in. Get the first fish, that first fish that comes up. Open his mouth. You'll find a silver coin that is enough to pay for you and me. And take care of it. Well, the thing I wanted to bring out is this. At the time that Jesus spoke that thing, there was a silver coin in that lake somewhere. Maybe at the bottom, somewhere in one corner or whatever. It didn't matter. But it was there. And even though Peter had to do a few things to activate that word that Jesus said, you have to follow the instruction like he said. So he had to go get his fishing gear, which he had already stashed. And he had to go down to the lake, do all these things, and do it, like Jesus said. However, from the moment that Jesus said that thing, the fish that was in that lake, no matter how far the distance was to where Jesus was, they heard the master's voice. That's right. You know, they heard it. And every last one of them say, I'm going to be the one to get that coin. You know, they're fighting for that coin. I'm going to get it and bring it. Because the master said, bring it to Peter. You know, and just like that, the whole creation is at his bidding. Just like that. You know, says it. Bible says he speaks. He commands, stands fast, he speaks, and it is done. You know, spoke it, the fish respond. Spoke it over here in this case of the lepers. Their leprosy responded. I fade in away the voice of the master. And then here comes the next thing. And when they saw that they were healed, every one of them went rejoicing. Wow. Of course, they went on to go see the priest, because the priest had to certify them. And but this one of them said, my goodness, I got to go back. I need to go back and give glory to God for this thing. So when he saw that he was healed, one of them turned back and with a loud voice glorified God. Fell down on his face at the feet of Jesus. They hadn't even gone very far. Giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. You know, it wasn't like, you know, one of the quote-unquote inner circle Jews. You know, the Jews had no dealings with the Samaritans at that time. So Jesus said, were there not 10 that were cleansed? Jesus knew they were all cleansed, even though the others didn't return. But where are the 9 that are not found that return to give glory to God except this stranger? See, there are not found some that return to God. And let me tell you also, show something here, how this man returned to give glory to God. A loud voice. You know, sometimes people, when they are praying, are passionate, you know, their relative is in the hospital, something bad is happening, crying for somebody whose life is in danger. People can really get passionate, get really in that prayer zone. Can cry upon the Lord and pray and fight and everything. And it's good, and you must. And people do that. But when the thing is done, people don't use the same, you know, alacrity and everything to praise the Lord that they were using when they were praying for the thing. They can just give a casual testimony or not give any testimony at all, which is even worse. Not give God praise at all. But yet, they can get in there with prayer. They can get in there with fasting. They can call upon the Lord. They can agonize when the thing is, you know, when they're going through the heat of the battle. But when the battle is over and the Lord are given the victory, how many people pray to the Lord with the same passion of, you know, to give praise as they were doing when they were asking the Lord for the thing that they wanted. Praise the Lord. Now, I'm going to share one story with you. There's a story that in the Second Chronicles chapter 20. There's a story there. of Jehoshaphat, you know the story, and all of that. How that, I can see somebody's mic is open. It's interfering with mine here. Titi Lyle, I think it's yours. Okay. Then Jehoshaphat had the inspiration from the Lord that the Lord was going to give them victory in the battle. What he did and how he did it is worthy of note. Not only did he praise, the first thing he did actually was to worship. Once he heard the prophecy, he worshiped and commanded all the people to worship the Lord. And from that worship, he set people who are going to praise the Lord in front of the battle. You know the story. But that's not the part that I want to talk about today. The part that I want to talk about is what he did after. See? Not before. And not during. What exactly did he do after? You know, after the whole battle was over. Let's read some part of it, and then you can see. And I preached a message, I think it was at the church, called it, you know, the wilderness of Tekoa and the valley of Baraka, he said, Baraka. So, in this place, when they went to the wilderness and they got the victory, you know, let's see what happened at Baraka afterwards. After they had finished on the fourth day of gathering the spoils and so forth, it says here in 2 Chronicles 20 and 26, they've been gathering all these spoils for several days. On the fourth day, they assembled themselves in the valley of Baraka. But there they blessed the Lord. See, therefore the name of the place was so called. Because that's the, you know, the Lord is good, the blessing of the Lord. They blessed the Lord for the victory that they had gotten, you know. And they blessed the Lord. They returned every man of Judah and Jerusalem and Jehoshaphat in front of them this time around. Jehoshaphat always trying to lead the charge because they are praising the Lord. They returned with praises to go again to Jerusalem with joy, for the Lord had made them to rejoice over their enemies. But what did they do? They assembled themselves to praise the Lord. They finished gathering the spoils. The Lord had given them victory. Their enemies fought against one another and destroyed one another, destroyed everybody, his brother. And then these people returned to praise the Lord. They just returned. And they praised the Lord. They danced. They praised, you know. Yeah. Because the Lord had fought for them against their enemies. And so the man that returned to the Lord to give praise, you know, which Jesus said was a stranger, a Samaritan, he also received an additional blessing from the Lord. Now, remember, Baraka. Literally, you know, in the Hebrew means blessing or praise. So the valley of Baraka, where these people came, it was just to praise the Lord after the great victory. And this man, let's go back to our foundational story here. This man in Luke 17, that returned, the only one of the ten that returned to praise the Lord. Here's what Jesus told him afterwards. He said, arise and go that way. Because the man had come down, falling down under the feet of Jesus and just praising the Lord with a loud voice. And the Lord said, get up, go thy way. Thy faith had made thee whole. I think this was something that he got over and above the remaining nine. You know, because they were all made here, but this one was made whole. Big difference. You know, they were cleansed, the others were, but this man was made whole because he came to return the glory to God. The one whom thou hast healed has come to return to the Lord. Praise the Lord. The one who thou hast blessed has come to return to the Lord. The Lord gave us strength for the last 4 days to seek the Lord and to ask and declare many things which we believe have already been done. Well, and some people are already experiencing some stuff, but let's give praise to the Lord. That's what this lesson was about. But I just wanted to give you some lessons out of the scripture, you know, to support this exhortation. It is so good to praise the Lord, to give him thanks for what he has done. Enter this way into his presence. Psalm 100 said, come with thanksgiving, come with praise. You know, we praise him for what he has already done. Or we thank him for what he has already done and praise him for what we know he's yet to do. Be thankful. Praise the Lord. So, if you know that the Lord has done some good things for you or have prepared, say, thou art prepared thy throne in heaven. Well, you know, there's something that the Lord has prepared for us to experience. And some people are experiencing flashes of it already. It is time for us to give testimony to the Lord. Testimony to the Lord. Praise the Lord. So that's my brief exhortation this morning, encouraging us to give testimony to the Lord. I want to let you know that the things that the Lord spoke over this room, those things are secured and they are guaranteed as long as we go forward in faith upon the word that he spoke. Go show yourself to the priest. You know, as long as they acted on that word, they were cleansed on the way even before they got there. But the good thing is there was at least one of them that returned to give glory to God. Will you be that one? Well, what is it that God has done? What has he inspired in you? What confidence level do you have now? Are you ready? Are you fired up for our September to Remember event? Well, I can tell you I am. And let's share testimony. Let's give God some praise. Up in here today, let's give him some praise. Let's give him some glory. Father, we thank you. Lord, you be so good. Thank you for the last 4 days as we set time apart to seek the Lord. And we thank you for the words of encouragement, the prophetic declarations, the word of our Lord that came to us, giving us all that you would do, saying that at that time, I will undo all that afflict you. And I will joy over you, and I will rejoice over you with singing. At that time, Lord, you said that you would take away the reproach that has been a burden in our lives for so long. And you will replace the shame with fame and praise and glory to God. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for the salvation that's coming. Deliverance is healing that's coming, which you have promised. Say the word that I have spoken shall be done. It will no longer be delayed. We thank you for those promises. To God be the glory. We thank you because we know that you have spoken, and who shall let it? The word of the Lord is steadfast. My word shall not return unto me void, it says. But it will accomplish the thing whereunto I send it and prosper in that which I please. So thank you, Jesus, for that. Now today, we remember that you have promised to make us a name and give us praise among the people of the earth. You have promised to turn away our captivity and so on and so forth. You are taking us to greater heights. You want to not only soar like the eagle, but take off in flight like the rocket. God be the glory. Thank you, Father. We give you all the praise. We give you all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.